This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Bethel has a new planning director, and it's a familiar face. Ted Meyer will return to the position he left in 2017. He served previously from 2015 to 2017 before he resigned. Yesterday was his first day back. In the meantime, the city continues its search for a police chief. Human Resources Director James Harris says nobody's applied yet. One potential applicant inquired but said the salary was too low. And the executive search firm is still advertising the city manager position. The search firm will wrap up that phase of the process on August 30th and then narrow down the field to a handful of candidates. From there, City Council will make the final decision. City Council seats are up for grabs as well. Candidacy packets are available now, and candidates must get their paperwork to the city by August 20th at 4 p.m. City Clerk Lori Strickler says she'll not accept any packet submitted at 4:01. And for the past few years, organizations and businesses in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta put on a conference in Bethel to tackle some of the biggest challenges in the region: jobs, energy costs, and the environment. Usually they focus on them separately, but not this year. This year, organizations are trying to solve these issues holistically as climate change becomes a bigger force. The theme of the conference was the YK3Es: environment, economy, and energy. Clarence Daniel heads transportation at the Association of Village Council Presidents, one of the organizations putting the event on. He hopes to see ideas actually implemented from this year's gathering.
A lot of times when we've seen conferences and meetings, we do a lot of looking back at where we've come from.
The issues are familiar to YK Delta residents: few jobs, high power bills, changing environment that's impacting fishing, berry picking, and making the frozen river ice roads unreliable in winter. In the past, the organizers took one topic at a time, but this year they tried something different.
I think that previously we would have an energy summit, but we would talk about environmental change and economic development, but those weren't necessarily key components to the work session. And I think it's really important that we've all kind of recognized that it's all intertwined.
That's Natalie Hansen, the executive director of New Vista Light and Electric Cooperative, one of the organizers. She says taking this approach helps them pool resources and find more funding, and that can hopefully turn these ideas into a reality. Then there's climate change, which poses significant challenges for many things, including energy costs. But Calista Corporation President Andrew Guy says it can also be an opportunity.
Well, the impact of climate change is more severe on the food sources that we have out here. So that's an opportunity to develop gardening or farming or herd animals. That kind of stuff can be developed, and those are opportunities that can be that can take the place of the food sources being impacted negatively by climate change.
The organizers say climate change isn't the reason they decided to take a more comprehensive approach to the region. However, they acknowledge there's an urgency that now underlies efforts towards meeting these challenges in a rapidly warming world. And it's called an atmospheric river, and it's what it sounds like, a channel of very moist air coursing across the globe. And it's what's been drenching the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports that a dry patch is now in sight.
Imagine a cylinder being placed over Bethel that reaches into space. There is the second highest amount of water in that cylinder and being blown into it that has ever been recorded for the area. The rain started on Friday, falling hard and constant through the weekend, then tapering off to a steady mist early in the week. The lower Kuskokwim River rose 2 to 5 feet, and everything is wet. I asked National Weather Service meteorologist Caitlin O'Brien when the rain should stop.
I would expect the showers to be tapering off probably by Thursday afternoon, maybe into Thursday evening, generally becoming lighter with time.
Nearly as much rain fell over the weekend as had fallen over the past 2 months. On Saturday, more rain fell in a single day in Bethel, over 1 inch, than had ever been recorded here. All that water is funneling up from the tropics. Over the Gulf of Alaska, a high-pressure system is spinning clockwise, and over Siberia, a low-pressure system spinning counterclockwise. Together, they're sucking up warm, moist air from the equator and dumping it over western Alaska. Meanwhile, that high-pressure system has been fixing the funnel of wet air in place. But as of Wednesday, that barrier began breaking down. Jean Petrescu is a research scientist with the National Weather Service.
This event was unique in the fact that it was very persistent.
He says usually these events pass through in a day or two. This one lasted closer to a week. Also, these events are more common deeper into the fall rather than in late summer. As the rain lessens, Petrescu says that even more rain could be coming later on.
We're now into the season with typhoon developments in the western Pacific. And in fact, there could be a typhoon developing over the weekend and the next week out towards Asia.
And that could push more water over Alaska. The National Weather Service cautions residents to expect the Kuskokwim River to continue to rise this week after the rain stops, as water flows down from the Alaska Range. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And in education news, University of Alaska administrators are working to get a cost-saving plan ready by early next month. Speaking during a weekly update video Monday, UA President Jim Johnson says development of the plan for consolidating the UA system into a single statewide institution is getting underway this week with a survey.
We've contracted with an expert surveyor, social scientist, to conduct a multi-stakeholder survey. So it'll be available to faculty, staff, students, and members of the community and alumni. And our business partners to weigh in on their interests and what they think we ought to organize around as we build a new University of Alaska.
Johnson says it basically amounts to consolidating administrative services and duplicative academic programs. A Board of Regents subcommittee formed to work on the plan will hold a formal meeting August 28th. Johnson says the consolidation plan will be posted September 5th, followed by a public comment session on the 9th, and consideration by the full Board of Regents on the 12th. And finally, in fish news, Yukon River King Salmon passage at the river's mouth has been solid this summer, but the fish have been slow to make it to the Canadian border. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Holly Carroll says 216,000 Chinook have been counted at the river's mouth, including an estimated 95,000 Canadian origin fish. Carroll says the run is above the recent year average and enough to allow limited subsistence harvest on the Alaska side and still get a substantial number of kings into Canada.
We're always looking to put at least 42,500 to 55,000 at the border, and then somewhere in there, we also need to provide an estimated harvest share to Canada.
A state sonar counter at Eagle had tallied nearly 4,000 kings as of Monday. Carroll says there's a theory about why the run has been slow to move upriver toward Canada.
We're predicting that the run is swimming slower because we had really warm water temps for the first half of the season.
Carroll says it may also reflect greater Alaska side subsistence harvest of early run kings because the overlapping summer chum salmon return was weak.
We heard very early on by the second week of the season in each district people saying, hey, we're done, we've met our needs. And so what we may find is that the second half of the run comes in a little stronger to Canada because a lot of the fishermen's nets were pulled out of the water.
Carroll emphasizes that people who live along the Yukon River are very conscious of long-term Chinook conservation concerns and are careful to limit their take.
A lot of the Yukon fishermen are in it for the long haul. They're doing their own conservation measures because they know that these runs don't support, you know, a full unrestricted harvest.
She adds that the managers also regulate the king harvest by restricting net size and the number and length of fishing openings. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.